So we got to the top of Zion and Aleph yesterday. The Gemara quotes from the Mishnah that we were introduced to yesterday, that Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Misada Ha'ilan Kedarko, a person wants to set up traps to keep away the moles or to keep away the mice. One could set up a trap Kedarko, the normal way, in a Sada Ilan, because apparently they damage the tree fields much more. However, Misada Halavan Shalokardako, when it comes to a grain field, literally a white field, one could only set up Shalokardako, a trap that's not the normal way. So Mark explains, what exactly is a Kedarko and Shalokardako? What's considered a typical trap versus a non-typical trap? Gemara says, Tanar Abanan Ketzad Kedarko. What's an example of a regular trap? Chofer Guma, person, the farmer, first digs a hole in the ground. Then Vitola Bamatuda, then he hangs a little trap over it. So I guess Rashi doesn't explain what it is. I'm not sure if it means that the animal goes through and then the trap falls down in the hole on top of the animal. The cage, I guess, drops on it. It triggers a string, and then the cage comes down into the hole. That's how I'm imagining the trap. And Ketad Shlokardaka, what's an example of a different type of trap? Noet Shafud, you stick a peg or some type of pole in the ground. Umake Bekurdam, you start banging it with a hammer into the ground. Umarda Ha'dama Bitachta, and it loosens the ground below it. And then I imagine you set up the trap above also, so instead of digging a hole, you just soften the ground, and that's going to cause the animal to drop a little bit, fall down on the ground, but there's no hole, just soft ground, and that's going to somehow cause the cage on top to come down and trap the animal. I think that's the image I'm getting.
They say that there's no cage here.
No cage,
That somehow the ground flattens and crushes it.
Uh-huh.
So I guess maybe somehow you...
caves in.
Underground, chamber, I guess they're living in, uh-huh. Somehow you crush the, the earth down.
Okay. Fine. So somehow, what you just said. So the Gemara says that...
Well, I don't know why they don't do that in the first place. Why is that the unusual?
Right.
Pretty good way of...
Yeah. I imagine so. Maybe, I guess, when you start banging in, it scares away the moles and they run away and it's not as... Okay, what do I know about catching moles and mice? So the Gemara says, now Tanya, Brisa says, Omer kish amru misada laban shiloka darko. When the Mishnah said you could only use a lokadarko type of trap when it came to a white field, lo amru ella misada laban hasmuchalayir. We're only talking about where there's a wheat field right outside the city. That's where we have to use a shiloka darko type of trap. Let's say out in the field, you have a grain field, a wheat field, right next to your tree field, then you're allowed to even use a filu kadarko, you can even use a typical a trap in the sade lavan. Even though normally you can't use a typical trap for sade lavan, when it's adjacent to a sade ilan, you're allowed to. Why? Shema yatsu misade lavan viachivu es hailanos. Because there's a concern, since the wheat field is adjacent to the tree field, so the moles and the mice are going to go from one field to the next field. So since you're putting in, about to even capture these types of rodents that normal way, even in the wheat field. Okay. Now the Gemara says the situation, the Mishnah, one's allowed to fix a fence on Chol Hamoed and on Shavuos. That wasn't quite the typical way. The Mishnah said only Makrin es Hapir to Bimoed. You could do some type of weak fence can be built on Chol Hamoed. So what does it mean, Makrin? What's a weaker type of fence? Ketzad Makrin, how does one do Makrin? Rav Yosef Omer, Behuta V'dafna. Behuta V'dafna is mentioned several places in Shas. The Mesorah Shas refers to the Gemara later on. It also appears in the Gemara Babasa a couple of times. Huta V'dafna, Rashi tells us, is made up of Huta's Anfe Dekal B'tmarim. You have the leaves of a date tree. And Daphne is buyer. I'm not sure what buyer means.
In Rashi
is buyer. Some other type of branch and leaves. It's a pretty weak fence. And Rashi says, "V'ka'avid geder." You make the fence. Mi Daphne u'megadol osam huta hadekel. You make it up and tie these branches and leaves together, and you've created some type of makeshift fence. That's permitted during Chol Hamoed because it's not a serious, it's not a permanent type of fence. That's according to Rav Yosef. Back to the Gemara. B'masnisa Tana, the Braisa tells us, no, it's tsar b'tsarer. you pile rocks or bricks one on top of the next. However, ve'ino tach batit, but you cannot put cement, you cannot stick them together, you can only place them, lie them on top of each other, but someone could obviously come and just push it all over. They're not going to be so stationary because there's no cement there. That's what we mean by makrin. It's a temporary fence. That's permitted during Chol HaMoed. To Machlokas, what's an example of a temporary fence? It's possible they're both true. They're just giving two different examples. So Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Chissa says, Lo shanu ela kosel hagina. This debate only exists by a kotel, kosel hagina, a fence that surrounds a garden. Aval kosel hachatzer bona kedaka. When it comes to a courtyard, a person's either front yard or backyard, he could build a regular type of fence, even a Chol HaMoed. What's the difference between a gina and a chatzer? So Rashi tells us, Amar Rav Chissa lo shanu, a few narrow lines down in Rashi, Amar Masisin Makrinaval Enam Bona Kedarko. When is it true that you can only build a temporary fence during Chol HaMoed? Because Sagina says Rashi, Deleka Pseida Yisera, Eal Beinche. A garden has flowers, maybe some cabbage. It's a nice place to walk around. It's not going to be so damaging, so much of a loss if a person does enter into his Gina. Aval Rashi says, Because Chatzir Bona Kedarko. When it comes to a person's front yard, backyard, Deika Pseida Yisera, there's a big, tremendous loss potentially. People are going to steal the money. So the chatzer throughout Shas is a situation where it's basically a house. It's all the house types of actions as done outside the house. So they used to have ovens outside the house. It was a different type of temperature they lived in. They kept a lot of property outside the house. So it was there's a concern that's going to be a tremendous loss of money. And we know when it comes to the Davar HaAvid, something that's going to be a loss of money during Chol HaMoed, we permit you to do certain actions, even though they might require a lot of tircha. So by Gina, okay, you have some flowers that might get trampled on. Okay, it'll be chaval if the flowers get killed, but it's not going to be a tremendous loss of money. But by a chatzer, where people keep personal property, there's a concern of loss. And therefore, one can build a normal fence around the chatzer during Chol HaMoed. The Gemara now says, perhaps we could bring a raya from the following brisa. Lema mesayle kosel hagocha rishis harabim. If there is a wall that's leaning into a rishis harabim, soser uvona kedarko. You can destroy, knock down this wall, and rebuild it kedarko. This is talking about Chol HaMoed. Bipnesakana, because it's dangerous for people to walk by, it might collapse and fall and hurt somebody, so they permitted you to therefore destroy and rebuild this wall during Chol HaMoed. Just like we permit you to build a wall around the chatzer, seems to be a wonderful raya. The Gemara says that's not a raya, because Hasam over there, Kitikasani Taima. The only reason why you're allowed to build the wall in the case of the Rosh Hashanah, because the wall is leaning and it is a great danger. So maybe one would say if you only had that brice alone, it's permitted with respect to the Rosh Hashanah because of the danger. But around the chatzer, where there's no danger, there's just the concern of loss of money, maybe there is no heter to build a wall around the chatzer, only in the case of a sakana, of someone getting endangered. So Gemara says no raya from there. Gemara has a different version of this. Gemara, Ikud Amri, others say, Toshma, let's bring a raya, Kosel Hagocha, L'Rishis Rabim, if there's a wall leaning into the Rishis Rabim, Soser Ubone Kidarko. One's allowed to destroy and rebuild such a wall, Mipnei Asakana, because it is a great danger for people passing by. The Gemara is Medayik now. Mipnei Asakana in, it's only permitted to rebuild such a wall because of the danger. Shalom Mipnei Asakana lo. So, but if there is no danger, if it's just a wall that's leaning but no one walks by, then it would not be allowed to be rebuilt. Gemara says we could learn from here. Lema tiyeh tiyufta d'Rav Chisa. This is going to be a tiyufta. Because this price says it's only permitted to rebuild when there's a danger. But the Gemara earlier told us, Rav Chisa held, that's permitted even in the case of Hefsin Mammon, even without there being a sakana. So this serves as a tiyufta to Rav Chisa. Rav Chisa, who's an Amora, cannot argue on a brisa. Gemara says, Rav Chisa responds back, Hasam soser ubone, hacha bone velo soser. No, there's a difference. What I was saying was, you have a completely open chatzer, you can build a fence. For the very first time, you could build a fence. But you can't destroy a fence and rebuild it during Chol HaMoed. The case by the Rosh Hashanah is you can destroy first and then rebuild. That's what we added by a sakana. So when there's a case of Hefsid Mammon, you could build a wall. When there's a case of a sakana, you can not only build, but you could destroy and then rebuild the wall. That's the added chiddush in the case of a sakana. That's where Rav Chisda gets out of this question. Mara says, Hasam Nami, list of Lo Livne. Wait a second. So why not, by the case of Rishis Rabim, just destroy the wall so there's no longer a sakana and don't rebuild it? And you solve the problem of a sakana? Why don't you just do that? The Gemara says we can't just allow people to destroy the wall and then not rebuild it during Chol Moed. Because Im Kain, if that's the case, we say, okay, don't worry, Reuben, just destroy your wall and wait a week until you rebuild it. Im Kain, if that's the case, Mimnei Velo Soser. Reuben's going to say, I'm not going to destroy my wall and leave my property exposed and not rebuild it. I'm only going to destroy the wall for the protection of the people if you allow me to rebuild the wall. So that's why we allowed you to also not only destroy the wall of a wall leading to the Rishis Rabim, but we also permitted you to rebuild the wall. Otherwise, no one would ever destroy it. And because of the Sakana, we permitted it to be rebuilt. And Gemara says, Amar Rav Ashi, Masnitin Nami Deka. Our Mishnah is also quite precise in presenting it this way. The Kasani, the Mishnah tells us, Uvashvius Bona Kedarko. Mishnah told us, when it comes to Chol Moed, a person is only allowed to build a wall b'makrin, which was the temporary way. But with respect to Shvius, we said you could build it the normal way. So Deheche, what's the situation we're talking about where you're allowed to build a regular wall during Shvius? Ilema Dechatzer. If you're talking about building a wall around your chatzer, a regular wall around the chatzer, trichalem amemar, you have to tell me, of course you could build a wall around the chatzer. Why wouldn't you be able to build a wall around the chatzer? I mean, the only mlacha that's aser during Shavuos is mlacha related to the to farms, areas of food. People don't grow things in their chatzer, which is the backyard. We don't say all mlacha people just have to stop working the entire Shavuos. Of course you're allowed to work during Shavuos. You could build the house during Shavuos. The only iser is to work the land that produces food. I had no food in my chatzer, so obviously you're allowed to build a wall around your chatzer, so that can't be what it's talking about, that there's a heter to build a regular wall during Shavuos. Ela lav degina, it must be that you're allowed to build the wall around your gina, where there is some vegetation growing, some cabbage, some carrots in a person's garden, that is permitted during Shavuos. In contrast to that, with the Chol Moed, when's the case you're only allowed to do, when you do makrin by Chol Moed, must also be a case of a gina. So that's very consistent with Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda said our Mishnah, which permitted you to do makrin only, was regarding a gina, but when it comes to a chatzer, even a regular wall is permitted. And the Gemara continues to say, excuse me, what's the chiddush that you're allowed to build a wall, a regular wall, around the gina, around the garden? So the Gemara explains that afagav de mechse kaman d'avir nitirusa lepiri shema mina. Even though it appears by a person building a wall around his gina, around his garden during Shavuos, it appears as if he's protecting it. And there's an iser to protect your Shemitah fruits. You have to make all your fruits of Shemitah hefker. It has to be open, the gates have to be open, allow all the people to come in and take whatever they please. So how do we permit you to build this fence? The chiddush is that even though it seems like a person is building a fence around his yard and Shavuos, around his garden during Shavuos, it's still nonetheless permitted. The question is, why is it permitted though? Isn't it Shmira? Won't it be an Isser? So I believe it's the Nemuk Yosef in the back. I think he says that. Let's see if anybody says this. I believe he says, we're talking about, no one says it's also to have a fence around your farm during Shemitah. You just have to make sure that the gates are open. No one says you have to knock in all fences and leave it open and exposed from all ends. No, you could still have the normal fence up, just the entrance, or however many entrances you have, all have to be open and unlocked. That's what's telling us. So if there happens to be a breach in the fence around your farm, you're allowed to fix it. But you just can't close off the gates. I think that's what the Nemuk Yosef explains.
The English brings that.
Okay. Do they quote Nemuk Yosef? Or? Okay. Fine. It says the new Mishnah. The Mishnah is going to be a little bit confusing. I think we got exposed. I think when we did Megillah during the Ein Bein missions in the first parak of Megillah, we also got some exposure to some Mitzorah topics. It was actually a Shabbos daf yomi, so I was not here. So let's learn this mission together. Rav Meir says, "Roin es hanegaim lahakel aval lo lahachmir." The nega is when a person has a nega tzaras. So Rav Meir says, a Kohen, who only a Kohen is allowed to look at the Nega. No one, a non-Kohen is not allowed to look. It has to come from a Kohen. And the Kohen is the one that decides what happens. His statement, his articulation of the status of the Nega, whether it's Tameh or Torah, that decides what the status is. The Kohen never speaks, never says anything. Although there might be a white spot on the person, nothing happens until the Kohen says something. So Rav Meir says, on Chol Moed, a Kohen's allowed to look at the Nega, and he could say the status of it if this outcome is lahakel, meaning that the person is tahor. But if the outcome is the Kohen says, it looks like it's going to be lahachmir, that you're actually going to become tamei, the tzras is really a tzras, then he's not allowed to say what it is, he just stays quiet. That's all according to the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Chacham Omrim, lo lahakel, lo lahachmir, he says, a Kohen can never look at a nega on chalmoid, he's not allowed to look, even though it might come out to be tahor, he can't look at it, he has to wait until chalmoid's over. Rashi said, just lo lahachmir, he tells us, "Shim roa ha'kohen shu tameh." If the kohen sees that he's tameh, ain't omer klum. He doesn't say anything. This is going according to Rabbi Meir. Shim mitamo. If he's mitameh, the person nimsa mitzaro b'moed. It's going to cause him great pain to find out that he's in tzaras. He has to leave the various camps. So, and the Torah tells us, "Rachmana amar uvisimachta v'chagecha." You're supposed to be happy. You're supposed to be great simcha during Chol Hamoed to find that a person has saras, and to start keeping all the various halachas of saras is very much troubling. So again, the Mishnah says, right, Meir thinks that Kohen could look at it, but he only has to say the outcome if it's a good outcome. But if it's a bad outcome, he could stay quiet. While the Chacham says that he never is able to look at it, he can say either way. So he doesn't look at it until after Chol Hamoed. So Gemara is going to explain the Brice even further now. Gemara says, Tanya Rebbe Meir Omer, Rowan Esha Nigaim Lahakel Aval Lahachmer, just like we saw in the Mishnah, Rebbe Meir permitted one to look at Nigaim in order to say it's Mutter, to say it's Tahor, but cannot look at the Nigaim to say that it's actually going to be Tameh. And Rabbi Yossi Omer, lo lahakav lo lahachmer, he's not allowed to look at it either way, even if the result will be tar. Why? Shimata nizakik lo lahakil. If you're forced to say lahakil, then nizakik lo af lahachmer, then you're going to be forced to say lahachmer. And the Kohen cannot just look at something and just stay quiet. When he looks at it, he has to make an assessment and make a decision, is it tameh or is it tar? Okay, pretty much what the Mishnah said. So Gemara says further now, Amar Rebbe, Rebbe says, Nirin divre Rebbe Meir b'muskar, v'divre Rebbe Yossi b'mukhla. Rebbe thinks, I think Rebbe Meir is right, that you're allowed to look at it lahakel, but not lahachmer, in a case of muskar. Muskar is where he's in this limbo state, where we're not really sure if it's saras or not, so we say, you know what, let's just wait another week and see what happens, and we'll reassess in another week from now. That's muskar. So if he's in the state of muskar, then he thinks the Rebbe Meir allows you to look at it. And if it's in the state, when it comes to Divrei Rebbe Yossi b'Mukhlat, Mukhlat is a case where he already is Tamei, his Mukhlat is decided he's already Tamei. In such a case, we prosecute like Rebbe Yossi that one may not, the Kohen cannot look at it to see if he became Tahor or if it's still Tamei. Now the Gemara is going to elaborate on these points now. Amar Rava, Rava says, B'Tahor, when the person is Tahor, right, before Chol Hamoed he's Tahor, there's not a concern, suddenly he finds a white spot on his body. Everybody agrees you don't look at it, nothing good could happen. Either you stays the same, or the only thing that really happens is something bad happens. Let's leave things as status quo. Bistar, we all look the other way and say, well, come back to us after Chol Hamoed. Behesker Rishon. So the way it works in Tzaras, when it comes to Tzaras, is that if we're not really sure the status of the Nega, we say he could stay away, Hesker Rishon, come back in a week, that's called Hesker Rishon. And then in another week, he comes back and we say, we're still not sure, come back after a second week. So that's called Hesker Sheni. So if he's during Hesker Rishon, where pretty much he's Tahor, he's just really in limbo, we don't know the status. This too, Kuli Amma Lo Pligi Dechazile, you are allowed to look at it during Hesker Rishon. And in this situation, everyone agrees that if you think it's Tahor, and the Kohen says, wait a second, I think the white spot went down, it got smaller, you're Tahor, there's no need for a Tahor process because he never was really Tum in the first place. We weren't sure. Everybody gets allowed to look at it. And if you see something that you're not sure about, so you could always just say, let's do Hesker Sheni, let's push it off a second week because we still have another week we could put him in limbo for. So nothing really changes for his status. It's either he's completely Tahor or he's still in the limbo. Nothing's going to change. It will not create any Tsar. So that everybody agrees in such a situation, you're allowed to look at it. Ki pligi, when is there machlokas, whether you're supposed to look at it or not? Behesker sheni, where before Chol Hamoed, before Yontif, the guy went through Hesker Rishon. And then they came back to the Kohen before Yontif and says, I'm not sure, it still looks unclear. Let's put you in Hesker sheni now. Let's go do one more week and we'll assess it after a week. Now the Hesker sheni concludes during Chol Hamoed. So now what's going to happen is the Kohen's going to look at it. The Kohen's either going to say Mukhlat, or you're Vade Tamei, or the Kohen's going to say, you're Tahor, you're good to go. So Mar Savra, the Gemara says, but Kohen Talia Milsa. Everything depends on what the Kohen says. He's deciding here. If he says Tame Tame, if he says Tar Tar, it's all up to him. So Itar, if the guy is Tar, Amar Le Tar, he says Tar, and the guy goes home great during Chol Moed, he's very happy. Vitame, if he's Tame, Shasik, he just stays quiet. And as long as the Kohen stays quiet, nothing happens. So the guy just stays in an extended period of Hesker Sheni. That's all according to Rabbi Meir. However, Mar Sever, Rabbi Yossi felt, L'taro ol tamox, if the Pasuk says, the Kohen says he's either Tar or he says he's Tame, that he has to make a decision. He can't just stay quiet. You either have to say Tar or say Tame. When it comes to Hesker Rishon, so then the person in the Kohen could say, let's push off another week. Hesker Sheni, there's no more pushing off. You're stuck. You have to make a decision. You can't continue to push off everything that's waiting another week. It doesn't happen like that. Either say Tame or Tar. Shtika is not an option. So therefore, Biyosi says, better to just ignore it. Don't look at it until after Chol Moed, because you're going to be forced into the corner to making a decision. So Gemara says, so that's what the debate's about. After Hesker Sheni. So Amar Mar. Mar, we're quoting what we said before. We're analyzing it further now. Amar Rebbe. Rebbe said before, Nirin Divrei Rabbi Yossi B'Muchlat. I think Rabbi Yossi is correct when it comes to a Muchlat, where the Kohen, where the person was already Muchlat, not Hesker Sheni now. When he was Muchlat, when he already was Tameh, as he entered into Yontif and entered into Chol Moed, he thinks we hold like Rabbi Yossi that you're supposed to look at it. Because what's going to happen? After a week, the guy is Tameh, either you're going to say he's Tameh, and he was always Tameh, he was Muchlat. So nothing new is happening. Or you're going to say he's Tahor, which is going to be a wonderful thing for now. He'll be very happy now that he's Tahor. So that's why if it's Muchlat already, we follow like Rabbi Yossi, that you're allowed to look at it again. But if it's, when it comes to Divrei Meir B'Muskar, when it comes to the case of Muskar, where he never was Tame, he's still in that limbo state, so then Rabbi felt we passing like Rabbi Meir that says, you're allowed to look at it, the Kohen can look at it, and if he sees that he's Tahor, he says he's Tahor, and the Kohen, the guy goes home happy. And if he sees that he's Tame, the Kohen just stays quiet and doesn't say anything. This gets a little confusing, I know. The Gemara says, however, Hatanya, doesn't the Braisa say Ipcha? We have Braisa that says differently. That says, really, Rabbi Yossi said by Muskar, and Rabbi Meir said by Muchlat. Okay? The Gemara says, you're right, it's a Tanahi. It's really Machlokas Tanaim, how to apply Rabbi Meir, how to apply Rabbi Yossi. So we'll read through these couple lines, and hopefully we'll read through Rashi to explain what's going on here. Hopefully everything will come together. Mar savar tzavsa de alma adif le, umar savar tzavsa de isha adif le. It's a very important philosophical discussion, psychological discussion. One opinion thinks that it's better to be around people and friends than to be around one's wife. And one thinks it's better to be around one's wife than it is to be around people. So let's understand this. When a person is in a state of muskar, where he's in that limbo period, he's allowed to be in the machnos. He could be among friends, he could go to shul, but it's also to be with his wife. However, the opposite shul, when he's tamei and sent out of the encampments, it's also to be with people, but it's mutter to be with his wife. So Hesker has the advantage of being with people, not with your wife, though. That's a disadvantage. Hechlet, when he's tamei outside the camps, but he's with his wife. So which is better? Is it better to be with friends, or is it better to be with one's wife? That's the debate. So you have a long Rashi. I think it's kedai to read through this Rashi slowly, these two big Rashis, to hopefully put everything together. Rashi, Dibur Maschil, Mar Savar, Tzavsa, the Isha Adiflei. One of the opinions felt that it's better to be with one's wife than with people. Ulahachi Chazile Bimoid, Beheskesheni. And for this reason, we permit the Kohen to look at the Tzras. If the guy is completing his second round of limbo period during Chol Moed, you're allowed to. Why? What are the options? What's going to happen? Dimitaro, if the Kohen says, oh, it looks like you're Tahor now, Misamcho, the guy is going to be very happy now that he's Tahor. And Vafilu Matamele, even if he says, you know what, you're Tamei, I'm sorry to say you're Tamei, Umachlele, and I'm deciding you have the status of being a Tzeras, Umishadele Chutz Migil Machnos, he's sent out of the three camps, but Lesle Tzavs at Inche Dama, he's no longer among people, Afilu Hachi, Lesle Tzara, he still has no pain. So Ishlei Tzavsat Isha, he has the accompaniment of his wife. So nothing bad could happen. Either he's going to be Tahor, or he'll be alone with his wife outside the camp, so he's still happy he's with his wife. Umutter hu be'ishto, during the state of being Hechlet, where he's Vadei Tameh, it's mutter to be with one's wife, l'lis yachirima, to be in Yichud with her, b'mechiluto. B'divir Rabbi Yossi, b'muchlat. Okay. Even if he says you're tahor, now that's all when it comes to muskar sheni. That's how he passes like Rabbi Meir by muskar sheni. But when it comes to muchlat, we pass like Rabbi Yossi that you should not look at it when he's a muchlat. Why not? Because what are the options when he's a muchlat? Divi Rabbi Yossi be muchlat dafilu matarla. Even if you were going to say he's tahor now during chol moed. Afagav the Sharli Lemach and he saw now that he's allowed to go back to the camps, Isle Tzara. He's going to have a lot of tzar. The less late tops of the Isha, the Asu, he's going to have a lot of pain because he can no longer be with his wife during the period of becoming Tahor. The Chayim and the Mitar Le, Michaluta, once he's becoming Tahor from being Mochlet, Mi Bar Le Lemimne, Shevi Me Sfiro. He has to count 7 days of Tara. Ubi Me Sfiro, during these days of counting, Asur Batashmir Shemitah, relations are Asur. He has to sit outside his own camp of being with his wife. Shivas Yamim for 7 days. V'aholo zu isha. That refers to his wife. The tenth is referring to his wife. Dichsiv shuvu lachem malechem. That proves that it's a reference to his wife. So this whole pshat was all according to that he preferred to be with his wife. That's how he explained that way. That if he's again muskar, you're allowed to look at it. Because worst case scenario, he's going to be with his wife either way. But if he's mukhlat, there's a possibility of him not being with his wife. Therefore, we don't look at it when he's mukhlat. Next, Rashi explains, Mar Savar Tzavsa Da'alma Adiflay. This opinion thinks that he'd rather be with people than be with his wife. Hai Tana Amar Rebbe Nir and Divir Rebbe Meir B'Mukhlat V'Divir Rebbe Yossi B'Muskar. That other opinion felt that Savar Tzavsa Da'alma Adiflay, being with people was better for him. Ulahachi Chazi B'Mechiluta would look at it if he was already B'Mechiluta, if the guy was already Tamitzras, you're still allowed to look at it during Chol Moed. Why? If you say you're still Tamei, sorry to tell you, nothing changes. He was Tamei before, he's Tamei now, so he stays the status quo. However, he has the option of Vimitaro, if he becomes Tar, Misamcho, he's going to be very happy. This leads to Absadama. He's allowed to go back to his friends, back home. Even though now it's going to be Asabatashmimita, now that he's going through the process of being Tar, he preferred to be with his friends than to be with his wife. But if he was b'muskar, where he was in the limbo status, then we passing like Rabbi Yossi. The lo chazi lay that the kohen should not look at it. Dilma metamele, because it's a possibility that he's going to say, "I'm sorry to say you're tamei." And what's going to happen when he's tamei? He's going to be sent out chut legimel machnos. Unless it tzavs the amma metarle, he's going to be no longer permitted to be with his friends, and that's going to create a tremendous tzar on chalmor. So that's how we explain these two different scenarios. A bit confusing, but these are some of the basic halachas of the yimei chiluta, yimei heskera. Back to Gemara now, around 8 lines down from the top. The Gemara says, "Lameimer, is this to say, the muchlat mutter b'tashrus mita? Are you to tell me that during the mechiluto, where the guy is vaday nega tzeras on him, and he's vaday tamei, is permitted to be with one's wife?" Gemara says, "In yeah, it is. Hatanya. Normally, the word v'hatanya is supposed to be a question, but sometimes v'hatanya is a nichusa, it's supposed to be a support. This v'hatanya is a support. I'll prove to you that it's mutter to be with one's wife." Pasuk says by a teras, by Yashem Mechus La'alo Shivas Yamim, he's supposed to sit outside his tent for 7 days. Gemara says Sheyhei Aser B'Tashri Shemitah. He's Aser to have Tashri Shemitah. Ve'ein Ohalo El Isho, and the word Ohal means a wife. Shenemar Leich Amor Lahem Shuul Lachem Lo Lechem. After Kabbal Satorah, Hashem says to Moshe, tell all people now they're mutter to go back home to their wives, to their tents. So you see the word Ohel refers to an Isha. So the pasuk says that the Mitzorah has to sit outside his camp, cannot be with his wife. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shivas Yomim Yisafrulo. So the pasuk is talking about the 7 days where he counts, when he's becoming Tar. That's the context of the Torah. Shiva Yimei Sefiro V'lo Yimei Chiluto. Only during the 7 days of becoming Tar is it Aser in Tashmish Shemitah. But Yimei Chiluto, when he's Tamei, it's not part of the Pasuk. In that case, he'd actually be permitted in Tashmish Shemitah. This is the raya, this is the proof that Tashmish Shemitah is mutter during Yimei Chiluto. However, Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda, he argues and says, Omer, Shiva Yimei Sfiro, Kavachomer Yimei Chiluto. If the 7 days of Tar is going to be Tamei, he can't be with his wife, certainly when he's Tamei, he has to be even further from his wife. Kavachomer is going to be Aser to be with one's wife, even during Chiluto. So in fact, it's really a machlokas tonight whether Tashmish Shemitah is Aser or Mutter during Yimei Chiluto. So the Gemara, look at Tosas for a second. Tosvos. Actually, no, wait to Tosvos for a second. We'll wait a couple more lines. So Gemara continues and says, Amar Rabbi Chia, Danti Lefnei Rebbe. Rabbi Chia says, I was once learning this Kav Chomer in front of Rebbe. Limitenu Rabbeinu, and Rabbeinu Rebbe taught us the following. Yosem, who was the son of Uzziahu. Lo Haya Lo Uzziahu was not born to Uzziahu, Ella Bimechiluto. He was only conceived during the period of Uzziahu, who was at Mitzora, while he was Bimechiluto. So Amar Le, Lo Afani Kachamarti. So I just said the same thing. So they brought a proof from Uzziahu that he had a child during the period of him being Bimet Mitzora, and therefore we see Tashmish Amita, in fact, is Mutter during Yimei Chiluto. So B'maikamifki, what is the machlokas between Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, who says it's Aser, and Tanakamu thinks it's Mutter? So Gemara explains, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, Asavar Gali Rachmana Bimei Sifuro, V'kol Shekhen Bimei Chiluto. The Torah revealed to us that during the days of counting, when he's being Mitahar himself, it's Aser, and the Kav HaChomer, like we said above, that during the Mei Tumah, it certainly should be distanced from his wife. But the other opinion felt, Mar Savar, my Gali Gali, my Lo Gali Lo Gali. The Torah taught us one thing. Whatever the Torah told us is one thing, and whatever the Torah didn't tell us, we can't learn from. We can't learn these Kav HaChomers. The Torah tells us X, we can only learn X. We cannot deduce anything else from that. So look at Tosus for a second. Tosus Dibra Maschil, my Lo Gali Lo Gali. Whatever the Torah didn't tell us, we can't make any Chidushim. Ask Tosfos, Yesh Makshin. Some ask the following question. Lama ein Rebbe Dorish Kal V'chomer. Why was Rebbe not comfortable with the Kal V'chomer of saying, if it's Aser to be with one's wife during Yimei Tahora, so certainly it should be Aser during Yimei Tumo. It's a, again, Lama ein Rebbe Dorish Kal V'chomer. Ha Adam Don Kal V'chomer Mi'asma. The Gemara in Psachim and elsewhere tells us that one is allowed to darshan the Kal V'chomer on his own. You don't have to have a Misora. If it makes logical sense to make the Kal V'chomer, you can make the Kal V'chomer. So why is it being delayed? Why is he not accepting this Kal V'chomer? The Tosu says, Shema Yeshum Pircha. Perhaps there's a flaw in the Kal V'chomer. There's some type of flaw. The logic doesn't go through, and therefore he wasn't willing to accept the Kal V'chomer. Ah, the Gemara doesn't address it. Okay, fine. The Gemara doesn't say what the question might be, but perhaps Rebbe felt that there was a certain flaw in the judgment. Oh, or perhaps, Shema Mitzora Chiddushu, Tosu says, maybe the whole concept, the whole Parsha Mitzora is a Chiddush, and we cannot derive Kal V'chomers from Chiddushim. Chiddushim we accept Ein Lo Ela Bo Chiddusho. Whatever the Chiddush is what we accept. We can't extrapolate to anything beyond the Chiddush itself. Alternatively, Gemara Tosa suggests maybe Inami Shiva Yomim Mashma Miut Lafuki Mechiluto. Maybe the Torah says Dafka 7 days. 7 days only is it us to be with one's wife. No other days. It's a special Miut, excluding any other days, any additional days, excludes even a sensible Kal V'chomer. Okay. Back to the Gemara now. Gemara says the Memra. The Kohen B'Talia Milso, we said above, we took this for granted, is this to say that the entire Parsha Mitzora all depends on a Kohen? The Kohen is what makes the decision, only him, no other option? So we know this to be true. There's the famous Gemara in Tzvachim, it's Rashi also in Al-Torah, that when Miriam was Mitzoras, so Aaron was very much troubled. He said, who's going to look at Miriam and make her Torah now? Aaron says, I can't look at her, I'm a sibling, I'm a relative. A relative is not allowed to judge, not allowed to look at another mitzvah of a relative to mitzvah. You need another coin, but there's no other coin. And Moshe Rabbeinu was not a coin either. So Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I myself, I'm the coin, I'm going to look at Miriam and to make sure she's no longer a mitzvah. So we see from that Gemara in Tzvachim already that everything does, in fact, depend on the coin. So the Gemara here says, is that really true, though? Is it really true that it all depends on a coin? Yes, it does depend on a coin. As we'll see the following Braisa. Hatanya, the Braisa teaches us, Ubayom Harasabo, it's a pasuk referring to the end of Mitzora, and the process of being Mitar, the day that you see it. Gemara says, Yesh Yom She'ata Rabo, Yesh Yom She'ata Rabo, Ubayom. Sounds like, and the day that one looks at it. What do you mean? Sounds like there are some days that the coin is supposed to look at it, and some days the coin is not supposed to look at it. What kind of days are we referring to? Gemara says, Mikan Amru, we see that the Kohen has to make a decision whether he should look at the day, look at the Tzaras on a given day, meaning, if there's, let's say, for example, a Chasan, Shenolad Bo Nega, if a Chasan has a Tzaras, a Nega, develop on him, a white blemish develop on his skin, No sin lo shiva yimei mishta. We give him 7 days. The Kohen says, I'm not going to look at it. You know, finish off the 7 days of Simcha, 7 days of Mishta, and I'll look at it afterwards. That's a decision. The Kohen says, I'm going, this is a day that I will not look at it. You not only give lo to him, but you also give loveso, his entire household, uksuso, any clothing that he has, which also might develop some type of tzaras, you also give his clothing 7 days during this Shevi Mei Mishta. V'chei meregel, so too in a regel, nos and lo shivasi meregel, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Also, if a person sees a nega tzaras on regel, like we said above, a kohen should not look at it during the regel, let the person enjoy the yomtif. So these are days where we say the kohen should not look at it. So we see it all depends on the kohen. So the Gemara says further, actually before we go further, the Ritva asks the following question. There's a, Ritva says that, I forget the source of this, but a Kohen Gadol can also become a Mitzora. It's possible the Kohen Gadol could have a Nega, the Kohen, another Kohen could declare him to be a Mitzora. Asks Ritva, don't we know that the entire year for the Kohen Gadol is viewed as a regal for him? It's always a regal for the Kohen Gadol. What are some examples that come to my mind at least? So the Kohen Gadol is able to decide any given day that I want to do the Avodah. Normally speaking, that only in Yontif is it fair game for all Kohanim to split up the Avodah. The rest of the year, a Kohen can't just say, I want to do the Avodah. Only on the Regalim. Kohen Gadol, any given day during the year, the Mishnah tells us, he can say, I want to do the, I want to bring the Karban today. He has full rights. It's considered the Regal all year long for him. So the number of Raya is that it's always considered the Regal for the Kohen Gadol. So that being the case, so then how could you ever make a Kohen Gadol into a Tzara, a Mitzora, if it's always a Regal for him? And the Gemara here tells us that you don't look at a person when it's a regal for him, so you should never be able to look at a Kohen Gadol because it's always a regal. When would a Kohen Gadol ever be able to turn into a Mitzvah? So the Ritva says, when we say a Kohen Gadol, it's karegel for the entire year, that means it with respect to Avelis. He never celebrates a Avelis, so he never keeps Avelis because it's always a regal for him. With regard to other halachas, such as this halacha, it's not really a regal, it's not a day of simcha for the Kohen Gadol all the time. He's not constantly having meals and sudas and special davening. It's only with respect to Avelis, but not with respect to other things, and therefore Kohen Gadol can in fact become a Mitzora. Going weiter in the Gemara. Gemara just had proved to us that there are certain days that a Kohen does not look at the Nega, again, days of Shiva Simei Mishta, when it comes to the Regalim. However, Rebbe Omer, Eino Tzarech, you don't need that. You don't need that pasuk. Harehu Omer, we have another pasuk that tells us a person finds that there's a Nega developing on his walls of the house. V'tziva HaKohen Ufanos Abayis. The Kohen says, Ufanos Abayis, turn over your house, remove all the kalim from your house. So we see from here, what's the purpose? Because before the Kohen declares the house to be Tzaras, there's no Tumah yet. There might be that same white blemish on the house, the walls of the house, before the Kohen said anything, but it doesn't become Tumah until the Kohen says, this is Nega. So the Kohen says, please remove all your kalim from the house, so they don't become Tumah, and then I'll declare this place Tumah. So says the Gemara, Imam Tina Lo the Dover Rishus, if we're willing to wait to help save the guy Rishus, to save just some money of his Kalim, so then Kol Shekein the Dover Mitzvah to enjoy his Shiva Simei Mishta of a Mitzvah. And for a person to enjoy the Mitzvah of Regal, certainly we're going to delay the declaration of a house becoming Tameh. So Rabbi says, you don't need the Pasuk of Hayom, we learn that from the Pasuk of Ufinu Es Habayis. Says the Gemara, what's the Nafkamina? Is there a Nafkamina between the opinions of Rabbi and Tanakama as to the source of we see everything, it depends on the Kohen's declaration. The Gemara says, Amar Abai, Mashmaos Darshan Ikmanai. The only difference really is a way to learn the Pesukim. There's no real practical ramification. Interpret the words of the Torah. One uses one source, one uses the other source. Whenever the Gemara says Mashmaos Darshan, it's basically saying that there is no Nafkamina. It means the only difference is what the source is. Oh, the Nafkamina is when it comes to Davar Rishus. According to the first opinion, Uvayom, we only delay the declaration of the Kohen when in the face of a mitzvah. In the face of a shush, we will not delay the declaration of the Kohen. But when, according to Rebbe, even for a davar rishus, we permit, for even a voluntary reason, for just a financial reason, we permit the Kohen to delay his declaration for that purpose. So that would be Nafkamina. So now Gemara is going to understand, we'll go, I guess, a few lines into the next daf. We do have still another 10 minutes. And the sugya does carry over a few lines. Let's go into the next, a little bit into the next amen. Rabbi wants to know, Rabbi Yehuda, Mihosam lo gamrinan. Rabbi Yehuda, why did Rabbi Yehuda learn from the same source as Rabbi? that Ufinos Habayis. The Rebbe said, delay the declaration of the Kohen and first clear your house of all the Kalim. Why didn't Rebbe Yehuda use that as the source? He says, Mihasim Logam Mina, the Gemara says, because it was a Chiddushu, because that itself was a Chiddush that we tell the Kohen to wait. What's a Chiddush? Deha Eitzim Vavanum Ba'alma Lomitame. In general, the lacha is that wood, rocks, stones, these things are not makabel tumah. Suddenly, when it comes to the lachas of teras, we see that a nega could appear on a house, on walls, on wood, on stone, and we see it's tameh. So since it's a chiddush of hilchos tumah, we cannot learn from the chiddush. As we said before, when it comes to chiddush, we only get the chiddush. We can't go beyond what the chiddush is. So Rabbi Yehuda wasn't able to look beyond the house. When it comes to a house, that chiddush, so we could say, it all depends on the declaration of the kohen. But maybe when it comes to a person, we wouldn't say the kohen could delay the declaration. That's why Rabbi Yehuda had to find a different source. Okay. Then the Gemara says, what about Rebbe? Why didn't Rebbe just use this source of Rebbe Yehuda uva yom harasa? So Rebbe says the Gemara, Amar, itzrich, you need both psukim. Di kasi rachmanu uva yom haros, but if you only had the pasuk the day that you see, habamina l'davar mitzvah in l'davar rishis lo. You would think you could only delay the declaration of the Kohen when it comes to davar mitzvah, like maybe for a davar rishus, just to save some money perhaps, one would not allow to delay the declaration of the Kohen. Therefore, we learn from the other pasuk with tzivah kohen, even for davar rishus, one's allowed to delay the declaration. And if you only had the pasuk by the house, I would have thought honey in dilav tumah degufe, that would be permitted because since the tumah of the house is not really, it's not on the body, it's not a person itself, it's on a house, so we could delay the declaration of the kohen. Aval tumah degufe, ema michza chadilei. When it comes to the tumah that's on appears in the person's body, you see it's right there, tzicha. So I'm not getting that last line there. So this last time tumah megufe. I think that's all it's saying. Simply that if you just had the pasuk about the house, you would think, so since it's not inherent part of the guy's body, it's not a house, it's so therefore, there we're allowed to delay the declaration. But when it comes to tumas gufe, when it comes to a nega that appears on the body of the person, so maybe we'd say the kohen has to look at it, and he cannot delay it all because it's much more inherent, it's a much more severe, intense form of tumah and teras, therefore he wouldn't be allowed to delay it. Therefore, Rebbe also has to use the other pasuk of Yom HaRasbo, that there are certain days where you do not look at it. Kamashmalan, you need both Pesukim Tzricha. Okay, so I think we'll stop here. Good to get exposure sometimes to other areas of halacha.